Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Hallelujah. Worship team, thank you so much. I really felt, you know, there are some songs that we know are giant songs. Blessed Assurance, that hymn is a giant hymn. Waymaker, Sinach, you know, and Anger's Day. When you nail those, and you're just how many people in the worship team. And there was another one. Pastor says there's another one. For me, those are the ones that I saw as the big, big giant songs. And how many are they? And how many are we? But I felt it was great, great, great. Glory to God. Please appreciate them. I'm told, Teddy, yesterday was your birthday. So from LAT, happy birthday, Teddy. Yeah. That we sing happy birthday. I lead. She wants too much drama. We may sing for you at the end. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, so I'm happy to be here today. And I'm happy that my son testifies. He doesn't tell us, he just shocks us. I just saw him here. And you know, like the mother that I am, I'm like, what is he going to say? Yeah, so Manzi, thank you for testifying. Yeah, he said you're welcome. Yeah, so glory to God. Amen. Is there any new person today? Any first-time visitor? Yes, or near Dock Hill? You're very welcome, sir. We love you, okay? Wow, worship team, that was awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you for setting the anointing. Glory to God. Hey, sometimes you're like, these guys have nailed it, so my work should be easy, so you think. Glory to God. Amen. Today, we're going to look at something that we've always talked about as LAT, but just a reminder in a different way. As I was preparing for this, I remember, by the way, Pastor, before I forget, I was watching TV with my son, and there is this show called Cook With Me South Africa, where different people come together. Each one has an opportunity to prepare a meal in their home. I think it's a three-course meal. And then at the end, the winner, no, not at the end, at the end of every person who hosts, yeah, there is an assessment, and people give you marks. And in this particular episode, of course, there was a guy who is an Indian. So he went all out, prepared things. So as we're watching, and there is a grand prize to win, which is money. So as we're watching TV, it was this guy's time to host in his home. And his home was like a mini shrine. It had so many, you know, Indian, those statues. So many of those everywhere. He calls it, he was like, right, the Taj Mahal. Yeah, it's his mini Taj Mahal. It had so many gods everywhere. What? Painted gold. Even he made everyone dress. You can give them a dress code or a theme. So everyone dressed like an Indian. So of course, the moment this guy opened his door, my son Kwesi says, mommy, I don't think Pastor Moses can survive there. Yeah. So I'm like, why? He's like, there are just so many gods in that guy's home. So it is good for even the young children to know where your pastor can survive. So I'm thinking, pastor wouldn't survive in that place. So I couldn't type the whole story to you, but I promised myself that I'll tell it to you that, pastor, you cannot survive. You can't even have a meal there. Where there's just no presence. There were just so many. There is a presence, but there were so many gods. And anyway, that guy, ended up winning the money for that the show. So it was I was impressed that, you know, my son would pick that up. Glory to God. Yes. So the children, you know, you can't pretend you are what you are, and they'll see it. Amen. So that leads me to the topic for today. I titled it Walking Worthy. Walking Worthy. Glory to God. And I'm going to really concentrate on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. It's amazing that Paul, in his letters to the various churches, he just didn't say, walk righteously. He said, walk worthy. And then he would add other things. For this particular church in Ephesus, that was his admonition to them. But we find the same admonition, surprisingly, even as I prepared for this, in Colossians. He wrote a similar thing to the church in Colossae. And he wrote a similar thing to the church in Rome. And I realized that the Holy Spirit was intentional in not leaving things abstract. Glory to God. But particularly for LAT, this morning, our message will resound with the message of the church in Ephesus. Glory to God. Amen. So it says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is our message this morning as a church. I don't know if Paul had issues with that church in Ephesus, that he highlighted these particular things in the way they should walk. Because when you go on to read a similar message in Colossians 1:9-10, it seems to be the same walk worthy, but in a different way. Colossians 1:9-10. It says, for this reason, 1:9-10, yes. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, that was specifically for the church in Colossae. Then we go to the church in Rome, and we shall find a similar message. So we know that this, it wasn't anything new. Romans chapter 6, verses 4, says, therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. Again, in other versions, it says, walk according to that which you have received. Glory to God. Amen. So what is really walking worthy? Walking worthy is simple. It is walking a walk that befits something, matching something. There must be a standard for you walking worthy. It is not that you first get worthy, then you walk. It is when you say, for example, I'm a president of Uganda. Oh, I'm a pastor. I'm a mother. I am so-and-so at work. I'm an ED. I am a businessman. You have to walk worthy of that position that you already have. Glory to God. You don't get the position first, then you walk worthy of it. Glory to God. And then, also, walking just means, it also denotes to your normal, your manner of life, your daily conduct. What is your daily conduct like? For I really strongly felt that for LAT, our work is simple. Because this verse, Ephesians 1-3, tells us where we should lay our emphasis. And walking worthy is so simple. Glory to God. It is not rocket science. And when we walk worthy of our calling, we please God. So I can say that it's easy for us to please God. Amen? And I'm going to show you how. That is why I said that this message is just a message of encouragement. That you're already walking worthy. Continue. And best believe it that you are pleasing to God. Amen? When you do these things, they're just four things. You will be pleasing to God. So quit those things that people who tell you, you know, to please God is so difficult. To what? God has given us the standard. He gives us the standard in various portions of scripture. And as long as you do that, it doesn't have to be complicated. You are walking worthy of the calling. Now, what is this calling? The calling is your salvation. Amen? And now that we're in the last days, it's so important for us, even on our pulpits, to remind people to walk worthy of that salvation. Amen? Paul could have said, because he's a man that talked about grace and righteousness and law, but he could have actually said, walk a righteous walk, like he has done before in other portions of his letters. But for this particular church, he said, let me be clear. This is what you are going to do, to walk worthy of your calling. Glory to God. Amen. So, when we walk worthy, we prove that we are that thing that we are. When we walk worthy, we prove that we are some that thing. It's proof that we, first and foremost, belong to God. We are born again. You don't expect your works to get you in a better place with God. No, to an extent, yes. But first and foremost, when you get born again, how can I say it without rambling? When you get born again, you have that position of you are a child of God. So now that you are a child of God, what is the expectation? And this message is so, so simple, and it's just a reminder for us that, we have been doing this. Please continue doing it. When we had just gotten married, there is this joke that we had with Sam. Now you're there, you're dating your guy. He's an easy guy. He wears his Arsenal shirts, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man U. But the day you say I do, he starts wearing African shirts. So, because there's just that thing about married men and African shirts. Glory to God. Amen. In our time, I said, it doesn't happen now. It doesn't happen in LAT. But there is just that thing about, you see your guy changing. A guy who used to don his cash shirt. Well, hey, African shirt. Yeah? And I'll be like, but Sam, are you going to be like this when we... And he's like, yeah, but you see, when you are married, you have to show that you're married. And I think in our time, the African shirts had just come. So they were that thing for men who are married or fathers. But yet, when you were dating this gentleman, he wasn't dressing those things. And there's a way in which, like, an African shirt makes a man look about older, about more responsible. So that was the connotation then. I don't know if it is the same thing now. Glory to God. So I'll tell some man, how are you going to walk worthy of the marriage with the way you dress? Yeah? And also, it was the same by the similar thing for ladies. I said it doesn't happen here. That when you get born again, the first thing you do is wear what? African fabric. Yeah? So say now, wearing shorts, small things, what? Tight things. You just wear things like this. So they say, they see you from far and say, either you're married or you're a mommy. Glory to God. So that is what we thought then, and we used to laugh about it. Glory to God. Amen. So Ephesians 4:1-3. We have to walk worthy of our calling. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness. How are we going to walk worthy? There are just four things in this scripture. Walk with lowliness and gentleness, which is one. Long suffering, which is two. bearing with one another in love, which is three, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Four things for this church in Ephesians, in Ephesus. Four things for LAT. So what does it mean to walk with lowliness and gentleness? Many times, like in this era that we are in, when you talk about lowliness and gentleness, people, the very first connotation of that is that you are low in terms of a lesser human being than another person. Maybe because of what you have or what you do not have, what you look like. The person who shouts the most, who gets seen the more, is the one who is given airtime to speak. But then the one who is less according to what we describe this world as, like according to the description, the heathen description, let me call it that way. The person who doesn't seem to have all this clamor is looked at as someone who, tell Charlie, because that one is a low person, you know. But here the Bible tells us to walk worthy of the calling which you are called with lowliness and gentleness. So I was really, really excited when I came across what our Lord Jesus Christ said about this. And what excited me more was the fact that he actually used the same words. Let's go to Matthew 11 and 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, used these words. Paul, in writing to the church in Ephesus, got the words from Jesus Christ. So, LAT, here we are. We are supposed to walk, for us to walk worthy, we have to walk with gentleness, with lowliness and gentleness of heart. So, what does this really mean being, you know, someone who is of a lowly spirit? It really means having a humble opinion of yourself or a correct assessment of your merits. Yeah. This is, it's a very interesting thing. You know, the things that are so simple to do or things that look simple sometimes are very difficult. When you say, okay, for me, I have a correct assessment of myself. Like, you don't feel like, your assessment of who you are is not exaggerated. Blown out of proportion. That's what I wanted. Yet, you can say, okay, yeah, I have a humble spirit. But yet the practicability of that is what will really throw you off. And every day, you will be tested along these lines. You'll be tested in your meekness, in your gentleness. You'll be tested in your long suffering. You'll be tested in how you keep the bond of peace, how you walk in unity with one another. Amen? So, I remember, again, I like using examples about marriage because they in a way reflect what a relationship with God is. You know, when I was on my bridal shower, a singer comes, one of my friends who had been married longer. So she says, you know, Joanne, when you have an issue, you have to be submissive. If you have an issue with a man, Mulinde, when he walks through that door, don't come running, boisterous, this, that. Even when you're right, sometimes just tone down and let it go. I was like, in my mind, I was like, hey, how? When I'm what? When I'm right and I what? Maybe submission. I will submit, but you know when you're right, it's difficult. Then again, my singer, now like real singer, would tell me these things of, when the man comes home, when your husband returns home, if you've discussed something and then you're at loggerheads, don't really, really insist. Give him time. Give him time. Wait for the right time and come and sit next to him. Say, you know, this issue that we had the other day, I was suggesting, and you know, I'm putting this to you again, for your unhurried consideration, that in your free time, when you think about it again, no pressure, when you think about it again, please reconsider. Reconsider the choice of house. Reconsider the choice of school. As in, humble yourself. Hey, I was like, but this same guy, because of course I was a young girl. Fast forward, we grow up. Yeah, we are past that stage in our marriage where, you know, what you say, he says, everything goes. Then, you know, sometimes the rubber hits the road in marriage and you're all like, but this is the way. And then the other person is saying, but this is the way. And nobody, the car is not moving. You're all, because the car can only have one driver. So fast forward in our marriage, I see those scenarios coming up. And I talk to my fellow friends, like who are married, and it's the same thing. And then one day, I faced with a scenario where Sam and I didn't agree on something. I had done everything. You guys, I'm spiritual, I know, eh? But I had prayed. I had done everything. I had told God, God, ndiwa no, eh? And God told me, I remember very well. God tells me, Joanne, I'm going to give you a strategy. What is it that you want? I'm like, God, I think I am right. The dream came. It is there, eh? It was interpreted. The man is spiritual. He prays in tongues. For crying out, like, both of us are in a 40-day fast. God, why? And let me tell you something. God told me, you know, if that is what you want, I'm going to give you a strategy. And the strategy is, remember those words that you were told. You wait for him to come. Eh! Let him sit down. Eh! Serve him tea. Eh! And then after I say, sir, I was thinking the other time. Let me tell you, the wise wife, the wise woman, the wise single girl, pick it from me. It always works. Glory to God. When you humble yourself, even when you're right. Because even when the dreams are there, you know, dreams are interesting. You can have two different, you may think that just having a dream would sort things out for you. But we are human beings. And you know when you tell, and we can have different interpretations, and you are entitled to having your own interpretation. So, that time, I had an issue. But you know it is the same thing that you can go through, even at work. It's amazing that people can do this for their bosses when they want things. You have to wait for your boss. Don't just come and say, for me, this is what I want. No! You have to wait for your boss to come in, first scan and see, hey, is the coffee there? Is he in a good mood? On Monday, if he's not in a good mood, you say, you know what, I'll try on Tuesday. Tuesday, he comes in the staff meeting. He blasts all of you like, wrong day to bring this up again. Wednesday, or Mubaza, when he comes, you're like, this guy. So it's easier for people to do this, maybe in their workplaces, but when you tell them, do the same thing for maybe your spouses, especially women, yeah, it becomes very difficult. Then on the fourth day, that is when you come like Esther and say, King, I was thinking, you know, the other time, that report, this is what actually happened. This is the truth of the matter. And when the boss has calmed down, when he is in a good mood, he will listen to you. Amen? So having a humble spirit and a lowly heart is not necessarily it doesn't mean that you're low in position, but it just means that you have no pride, you are not harsh, you are non-resistant to things, even when you are right. Glory to God. Sometimes I tell my husband that, you know, in these things of marriage, sometimes being right is overrated. So what if you're right? So what? Yeah? Sometimes you really die to be right. I want to be right. You want to be right. But so what if you're right? So what if you're right? So it's not always, you know, to your advantage to be right. So when we are meek women, if you go, no mubaza, you say, you know what? I was thinking the other day, you know, okay, you know, I don't even want to bring out that dream, but you know, you see, eh? I was just asking, eh? In your free time, sir, please, yeah, Just take it and think about it and yeah. Do you know that when you apply that strategy, I can guarantee you that 70% of the time it will work. When I had those issues and God told me to do that, the next day, Sam sends me a message, we shall action it like that. And as they go, that was quick progression. All the while, we progressed so fast. But God wanted me to calm down. Glory to God. And when we are lowly and gentle in spirit, we are calm. You calm down even when you are right. Now, sometimes, even with our bosses, there are sometimes when they are honest but painfully wrong. Like I would call it, I usually describe it as honestly wrong. You see the motive why your boss is telling you to do something is right, but the strategy is wrong. Do you then come and, just blast your way into his office and say, this cannot work. Remember, he is the boss. So why is it easy for us sometimes to do these things at work and we can't do them in our relationships? Sometimes it's okay to let people have their way, even when they are wrong. Glory to God. And like, I usually look at things in the eternal scale of things. Jesus is coming back soon. What? Those are things you encourage me. I encourage myself in. He's coming back soon. We shan't be here for long. Then somehow I'm like, Jesus, just come back, come back, come back. I won't even pray that. Like Carol said, you pray for Chiboko from God. I'm like, God, don't beat him, because when you beat him, then I also suffer. But just come back quickly. Just come back and all this stuff will be done. So the Spirit of God is telling us, just like Jesus humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself even when he was God incarnate. When he could easily, at the time when he was being arrested, he could easily, even he told his disciples, I can call down angels to take me. I can do that. But he chose, like a lamb, to be taken quiet to the slaughterhouse. Glory to God. And that is a character we have to emulate from our Lord Jesus. L.A.T., may our walk be that which is lowly in spirit and humble. Where God is taking us as a church, I know it will be explosive. We shall be a church, great magnificence, fame and splendor in the sight of all nations. But even then, how are we going to be lowly and gentle in spirit with all that pomp? Amen? And that is, pride, eh? Pride is a beginning of the fall of anybody. Whether, and this is works for people who are in the world, it's just the principle of life. For people who are in the world and those who are in the church. But more so for you who is in the church, because the devil wants you gone. So we have to practice some of these things when we are still small like this, when we are still little. But even in our personal walk. And can you imagine when I did that with Sam, I walked worthy of my calling as a wife. Glory to God. Then submission was demystified. Just wait, give him Katunda. What do you want? Isn't the end justifies the means? Ladies, you want something. The end justifies the means. Just go through this hard thing and then you get your end. Glory to God. Just sometimes you just have to look at these things in a simple way. You want it? Make yourself humble. Go and say, Bana, please. So I was talking to my friends, and one of us, there are two ladies, and one of us was having a challenge asking her husband for money. So one of my other friends, who is not born again, told her, "Gwe, you will die of poverty. Just ask the guy for money as relative. You see all those women on the streets, they all ask their husbands for money. And it doesn't matter how much the wife is earning, It doesn't matter who butters the bread. As a woman, you have to humble yourself and say, Banangi, sente zenvidi, sir. Even when you have it, then he can get from the account and he gives it to you. Glory to God. Amen. So ladies, we have to be humble. Ask for the money. Okay, not all the time, but ask for the money. Ask for help. Ask for the money. Go and say, And when he gives you the money, be like, Banangi, yeah, your money. It really helped me. What could I have done? Yeah, so that, yes, because every man everybody, every human being wants to feel relevant like that. Amen? And even for you, the woman, by the way, when, even for you, the man, when your wife cooks, eh, just say, eh, banangi, that was so great. Even when you had a greater meal at, in the afternoon at lunch, and you come home, and she has done beans that you left in the morning, and they are being soaked there, then at lunch you're like, let me eat what? Let me eat my chicken. Because you know beans are waiting for you at home. Every time you think about them, you're like, man, supper. But the moment she does the beans, when you go home, be humble. Say, you know what? Eh? Thank you. Hey, the beans were really nice. Thank you so much. Even if you don't feel it, yeah? But, you know, because everyone wants to feel relevant and appreciated. And you can't do that when you're proud. Say, you know, you should have cooked a meal like this. You should have done this and this and this. No. When, yes, when, like, not like my mother. You don't cook like my mother. You know, worship them when you're here. You're working as a team. I like your synergy. Yeah. I think in LAT, I've seen that synergy in the worship team. Everyone has something to bring. But on a day when someone is even singing off key and they can't even hear themselves and you have to say, but good, yeah. You're off key, first keep quiet. When the session is done, yeah, say, you know, thank you for coming. Thank you for your presence. You helped us. Appreciate people, even not necessarily when they are at their best, but even at their lowest. Why? Because we want everybody, every human being has that need to be appreciated. They have that need to feel important. They have that need. I rely on you, for me, I rely on you believing that I can do a good job for me to even stand here. Glory to God. And we are spiritual, yes. And God, yeah, you can be there, talk to yourself and you say, you know what? The Spirit of God is in me. I have that shigambo. But when you come to a people who don't even encourage you, there's a way in which it just dampens you. But for us to do that, we have to understand that when I encourage Abigail, when I encourage Juliana, when I encourage Rachel, it helps. And you, as in, you calm down. You don't just wait. And it's good for, by the way, especially for people who have teams, who are bosses at your workplaces, or it's good for you to encourage people. You have a maid at home. You want to walk worthy, and this is how. It's so simple. Encourage them when they do something, yeah? Calm down. Don't just say, for me, I'm the boss. I pay you what? Tebansu mesa, I'm a mchiga. For me, I don't about do what. No, calm down, yeah? Calm down and tell her, you know what? You did a fantastic job, and thank you, yeah? Humble yourself and go to that level. Glory to God. And you will have walked worthy. Now, those are practical things that you can do. Amen? The second point is long-suffering. Long-suffering. Lowliness and gentleness with long-suffering. Long-suffering, we've talked about it here before. It just means being patient, having patient endurance or perseverance. Amen? Sometimes, when you're patient with people, even when you're patient with people's weaknesses, someone can think you're passive or you're condoning their behavior. But when you understand that sometimes people struggle and you keep being patient with them, it's sometimes looked at as, are you not doing anything? You're not actioning anything. Yet other times it's just you suffering long through this person with their weakness. Amen? And also we look at God and how he deals with us on a daily basis. You go in the morning, you sin, you go to the throne of grace, you say, you know what, God, I'm here, give me grace. He says, okay. And then he doesn't punish you as you so deserve. Sometimes you do things and you're like, God, may that lightning that is outside not strike me in my house, because, you know. And God will not punish you as you so deserve. And we must extend the same to other people. To suffer long, to be patient with them. The bit of suffering long has an idea. It has an angle to you being in a situation that is not desirable. Either you have to put up with someone's weakness, your boss, your colleague, you have to put up with your spouse, your child, your neighbor, and you suffer long with them in that. And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 24. And we see what our Lord Jesus Christ did. 1 Peter chapter 2, 20 to 24. It says here, "For what credit is it if you are beaten for your faults? You took it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." Amen? If you suffer for the good that you're doing, this is what is commendable before God. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered with us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges rightly. He who bore our sins on his body, in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, may live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed." But look, it says here, verse 22, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to God who judges righteously." Amen? So, when we are suffering long, this means we have to put up with each other's weaknesses. It has been said before here on this pulpit, we are at different levels of growth. In your workplace, in your church, in your family, you all cannot be at the same level of growth. Therefore, you are going to have to put up with some of the baby stuff that comes your way. Put up with it. And when you're suffering long, you don't squint your face and say, you know, eh? You know, there are people who suffer long, but it is all seen on their face. "I am really tolerating you. I am, you, how can, you know, eh?" When you suffer long, you have to be like Jesus Christ. Don't threaten. Don't show disdain and disgust at someone's weakness if they are struggling at their the point of growth where they are. You know, you when you work with people, imagine you're a boss. There are people are not going to be you're a boss for a reason. God put you in that place. You're a boss. People are not going to be like you. You are a boss. That is why God put you there. And he gave you much more than other people. So when they goof up at work, when someone doesn't send the report quickly, why don't lambast them, you know, write an email and cascade it wherever up to group, eh? Because so and so has goofed up. Now, in LA team, as we are growing, the numbers will increase. Time will come. When, now, of course, the older people who have been here for long, us who have been in the foundation, you look at the new people who have come in and the things they are doing, you're like, what is going on here? You know? But you have to be patient. Does it mean that you accept the things that they are doing? No, but you have to suffer long. Take them in, yeah? Take them in with all their imperfections and walk along them. Speak out against the wrong that they are doing. But as you do that, you know that changing is a process. Everybody deserves a time of passage for change. And when you come in and you want people to do things immediately the way you want, the way you do what you want. I mean, look at when we get made in our homes and they come. Do you know what we women usually say? Give her like 2 weeks, 3 weeks to a month. Where she'll be goofing up, eh? She doesn't cook the food the way you want. Maybe she has put what where, the kettle is blowing up, the flat iron has been left. How? You must give that maid, that house help, who God has blessed you with, time to adjust. Now, if you can afford it to someone like that, how much more for your fellow brethren? Amen. So we have to bear with each other, suffer long through that. And by the way, when you're suffering long, I'll tell you, even as a mother, teaching a child is part of, I think, suffering long. One of the things that I go through is wastages with my children. You're teaching the child to wash dishes. Aye, but the soap you're going to buy, He will get the soap, pour it in the scour. The whole sink is full of foam. Then he pours that. Then water is just running. Then even, you know, and I'm like, but God, how? This child, money, the water bill, the, you know? But you must be able to give, allow people time to change. Allow people time to learn. And in that time, buying soap is not pleasant. Paying the water bill is not pleasant. But let me tell you, it is my labor of love into this child or into my neighbor. And when we do those things, after some time, you realize that now you, the child has got it. And you know what? Mukama kwatira, because also God sees that you're really suffering long. Eh? And he understands that pain because he goes through the same thing with you. God gives you something, you squander it. God gives you money, for example. You squander it. You're like, you know, the prodigal son, wasteful. But then when you come back, he suffers long with you in all your silliness. When he has told you, go here, do this, this is your, but what? You know, he has told you his will, but for some reason, you move out of his will. But when you return, and the time when you are away, he is suffering long with you. He's seeing you making these blunders every day. But he is patient, waiting for you. His patience doesn't mean that he's cutting you. He's not seeing your sin. But the Bible says that God's patience is not the patience that we know. That he longs that we come to a place of repentance. And we return, he doesn't want anyone to perish. I remember when we were praying about Zoe Fellowship and Elvis after he has fallen. And man, it just seemed like things just kept on getting worse and worse. And at one point in that fellowship, yeah, it seemed like we prayed, but people were getting further and further away. The drama was becoming too much. And at one point I told God, just come. Just come and intervene in this situation. Either I take somebody away, and those are the prayers that sometimes I make. I'm like, maybe you see a corrupt government official, and you're like, you know, God, oh, mujewo, eh? Because if you do that for us, I know that God can cut off what? Cut off a leg to save the body. If it has gangrene, you cut it off to save the whole body. So I'm like, God, if you did that, I've seen you doing it to your servants in the Bible who are, you know, who's wuzzing around. You just cut their posterity short. You know, I prayed all sorts of prayers during that time, and things got worse and worse. Yeah? Guess what? Fast forward. Elvis is still here. People are still joining the fellowship. Then I remember, by the way, Kakande is also still here. His church is still growing, or his shrine is still growing. And I'm like, God, when will you come and put an end to all this? But you know what? God is long-suffering. Yeah? The point at which, for me, I wrote people off, God is like, that one deserves the 100th chance, another chance, the angel sends another chance. Then you hear testimonies like, you know, when I was driving, some thugs attacked me, they wanted to kill me, but I survived. I'm like, what? At that point, Mukama, you should have just come in and... But somehow, you people, God is so long-suffering. You know the story of Jonah and Nineveh. Yeah? In the book of Jonah, Jonah 4:2, Jonah is given a message to take to this city. But this is what, you know the story and what he did. But this is what he ends up telling God. And this is the reason when God asked him about Jonah why. This is the reason Jonah gives God. But you know what? So he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Now, sometimes John is like, Jonah, I'm like, God, yeah, we go and you do it. You reach there and God is like, no, if they repent, I will forgive them. And you know what? God is that long suffering. And you know, because God looks at the wider aspect, he knows, he is sovereign, you know, he has good plans. This city ended up repenting. Imagine he had annihilated them. But you see, he didn't do that, and then the city repented and returned to God, and his purpose was fulfilled. But many times we are like Jonah to other people. You know, God tells you, or you know someone does something wrong to you, you don't tell God like man. You're like, may I forgive you the first time, the second time? What? Away with you. I don't want to know what even write people off. Delete them out of your phone. Mean they what? Yeah. But God, you know, God wants us to be patient with each other. Glory to God. LAT, we are growing. We are growing. And as we are growing, we must be patient with each other. Those times are going to come when we shall be tested. You tell someone, aka akan to toka ambala, don't come to church in that kind of thing. Then they bring the same version, a different version, same thing. You're like, but also you when you are leaving home, what were you thinking? We have to be long suffering. Don't easily write people off of, oh, yombamba mugamba blika say, oh, yeah, what yo, yeah? Don't, as we are growing, we are going to have to be patient with people. Does that mean that we condone the things that they are doing? No. We have to speak out against them. We have to be stern. But again, like I said, long suffering, you subject someone to the passage of time. Give them time to change while you are praying for them. Amen. But again, it doesn't mean that you don't cut off that foot that has gangrene. You must cut it off. If it gets too much, you cut it off. But may you be led of the Spirit of God as you do this, because you don't want to cut it off the part of the body of Christ that has gangrene, meaning a person that has issues. You don't want to cut them off. And then God says that was premature. So may you be led of God as you do these things. LAT, may we be long suffering so that we walk this walk that is worthy of our calling. The third thing is bearing with one another in love. Similar again to the examples I have given. Bearing with one another in love simply means you tolerate people. You bear with them, but it's deeper than just tolerating people. Because you can tolerate someone in your, in your same space, but in your heart, you're heaping calls on them, you're saying all these things. But here it is qualified when you're bearing with another person, make sure you are doing it in love. It's easier, it's better, I think, to err in love than to err in pride. Amen? Because with love, you have a return point. In pride, you do not have it. So, when we are bearing with each other in love, one of the practical examples I can give you is, carry each other's burdens. Amen? We are a small church. Let us carry each other's burdens. When someone, and like again I said, I'm not saying these things because you don't do them, you are doing them, but I'm encouraging you to do them even more. Carry each other's burdens. You know, there's people who, for them, when you take your burdens to them, they are very selfish. They say, don't add other problems. They already have problems. Fuel, food, what? But this person is telling you about maybe a relationship issue that they have that doesn't even need money to be sorted out. Maybe they are telling you about a physical ailment and they just need prayer support. Amen? So, bear with each other's weaknesses. Don't be so self-centered. Say, me, I have enough problems. Sagala kumanya, these things, church people, what? All the time. And that is how we label other people. They're church people. Oh, their problems are endless. Yet you also have your own what? Your own problems. Now, if we all agree that we have problems, let us then bear them together. Amen? When we bear our problems, we have solved them. And someone does not need to give you a solution, but just that listening ear. Amen? Glory to God. But now, when we are bearing with each other's problems sometimes, or we are carrying a burden, the challenge or the test comes in when you do not necessarily receive the same treatment when it is your turn. I remember in the bank, we had those things where you could... if you wanted to be off, you approach another person and say, no, can you please stand in for me? Eh? I'm going to be off. I want a Saturday off. I'm going to, like, you have your own reasons. And the other person stands in for you. and nobody, as in the bosses will tell us, as long as you get someone to stand in for you, hey, baby, I need someone at this desk every day. So, and it doesn't matter who it is. So the challenge sometimes would come where someone approaches the other person and they stand in for them. Then when it is their turn, they also have things to do. No one wants to what? No one wants to sacrifice. So therein is where the test in bearing with one another lies. Can you bear with another person regardless of the treatment that you're receiving from them? Amen? So if, say, for example, again, let me use the worship team. They are in the spirit. If Juliana was not able to make it last Sunday, and maybe she asked someone to lead for her. Now, according to the schedule they have, maybe if they have an existing schedule, she's only supposed to lead worship. And then she tells Esther, Esther, I'm not able to do it. Oh, for whatever reason, I'm tired, my voice is croaky, I'm getting a cough, whatever. And Esther stands in for her. Then when it's Esther's turn, and she says, you know what, Juliana, for some reason I can't make it. You know, if she doesn't get the same treatment from Juliana, trust me, it will be very difficult for her, for that relationship first and foremost. But bearing with one another sometimes means sacrifice. Amen? Sometimes it means you must sacrifice. And when we start to sacrifice one with another, it's easier, first of all, to start with people you like. Don't stand up one day and say, no, me, I'm going to sacrifice for so on. So yet you know that there is no, you guys don't gel properly. Yeah? So this, practice these things on people that you like. The sacrifice comes easy. When Grace Joy tells me, hey, Auntie Jo want this, I'm like, yeah, I like Grace Joy, it will be, yeah, you can go do it for her. But when it's person X, and they come, you're like, nah, you know, first of all, they're very cantankerous. They're like this and this. They don't deserve it. That if you don't practice giving the same treatment to everybody, regardless of how you are treated, it will be hard for us. Now, as a church, like I said, this message is for LAT. As a church, as we grow, and the numbers and the droves start coming in, nobody will want to come to a church where the church members do not bear with each other. There's just no relationship. As in, you don't want to listen to people after church. Everyone just gets their thing and they go. People are just in a hurry to go. But when, you know, we have to go beyond this church fellowship. Call your brother up. Call the sister up and say, you know what? I know I saw you last Sunday. How is everything going? Call. Yeah. Don't be there saying, Zemkamogomote ya gumpa, you know. Bear with one another. And when you do it, what pleases God is when you do it more out of love than duty. You don't do it because you're a pastor, because, you know, you have in-touch ministry, but you, that pastor is Juliana's carer, but I don't know what happened there. but Juliana, this one, I'll be on pastor's side. I think he does a fantastic job with, yeah. So let us bear with one another, not being self-centered, but know that beyond you, there is a bigger world, by the way. Life cannot just be about you, your problems, your prophetic word, your dream. No. Life is not like that. It can't be, you know, for you it's just about your problems, and then when it's time for you to be there for other people, you are bailing, you know. Let us bear with one another in love, bearing with our conflicts, our struggles, our burdens, our weaknesses. Let us bear with one another. You know, when people, It's amazing how this word is used. Have you ever waited for someone? Maybe you have an appointment, and when they arrive, the first thing they say, bear with me. The traffic was what? Was too much. When we say bear with me, you're trying to say, you know what? The traffic was a lot. Please understand. Attention, you are. That is the way it is supposed to be with us. Bearing with one another. When things are tough and we cannot be able to do what we are supposed to do, we say, bear with me. Just bear with me. I messed up there. I goofed up, but please, bear with me. Do not judge me harshly. Eh? Don't give me that. Don't excommunicate me from the what? From the church. So when we say bearing with one another, it is carry that burden on your back. It is not comfortable, but carry it. It's not comfortable waiting for someone for how many hours to show up. But when they show up, by the way, they have genuine reasons. You know, the traffic was tight. You know, even the border, I got a border issue when I was coming, or I got a flat tire. Bear with one another in the way you relate with each other. Glory to God. Then the last one is endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. Jesus Christ, in John 17:11, he prayed for unity. And we too must pray for this unity, but more than praying for it, we must keep it. John 17:11. Now I am no longer in this world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them. No, I come to you, Holy Father, keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Amen? Yes, thank you. That they may be one as we are. They may be one as the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are. They are three persons in one. Now, many times people, when you tell people pray for unity, the very first thing that comes to you, to their mind is uniformity. Like, how can we, when we pray for unity in the body of Christ, does that mean that we are all uniform, we do the same thing? But God called us to do different things. But what kind of unity does the Bible tell us to keep here? What kind of unity is that? Oneness or unity doesn't mean that we do the same thing. We can actually be united in our diversity. Amen? We are united. We can be united in our diversity. Look at, take an example of the body. There is a head, there are the hands, there is the neck, and all these body parts. They do different functions, but all of them have one mission, to keep this body moving. Okay? So that is how it is. That is the kind of unity that Jesus was praying for his disciples. He called them, at that time they were 11, but now he called them different characters, all of them having a different mandate. There is no way he could have been praying for his disciples to be the same. Like, you have 11 Peters. You have, you know, that is not what he was praying for. The unity that he was praying for was more in unity of one, mission. Two, the truth will be the same. Three, that at the end of the day, there will be one in glorifying the Father. Glory to God. And you see that it is not a mistake that, for example, you're in LA team. It is not a mistake that another person is in another church. We all cannot be in LA team. And even just by the fact that we're in LA team, it doesn't mean that we are the same. You know, people have, you know, you're all looking at me now, but I know in your minds you have different beliefs about even the things I'm talking about today. You could be thinking, Joanne, no, that one is just not okay. That one, you know. But more than having doctrine joining us, God wants us to be one in our mission. And that's what I mean by unified in our diversity. That we shall speak like corporately, have one voice against things that are wrong. For example, you'll have one voice against, you'll have the same voice about the will of God. But how to get there could be different. And that is all right. But at the end of the day, our mission, the motives, it should be one. You know, Sam and I always have this challenge. When we meet people, they ask us, like yesterday was someone say, you guys are the guys who brought back Museveni. You're gay. You brought him back. Because for us, we're like, you know what? It is the will of God. Other things, we don't know them. Let's go. We ticked. I said down from here. You know how you tick from down where, you know, His Excellency's picture was. You're like, you know, God, I'm doing this on your account. So, and what I desire during that time is to see the body of Christ coming together and rallying behind the will of God, rallying behind the purpose of, like, God's purpose for this country. And at that point, he had made it clear, at least to us in LAT, and people that care to read what was being sent out, that it is my will that this person is put back in office. So you don't even know, me and Sam, we are not even ashamed. About that, they abuse us, you people, they abuse us. You are the guys. Now you see this corruption. Now you see. What, you even stop justifying yourself. This is the day we had an opportunity of being with a relative, no, a son, to, what's the judge's name? The EC, the head of EC, I think it's called that. And the first thing I told the gentleman was, hey, send greetings to your father. Ha! Everyone was like, no, you're the guys. I'm like, you know, tell your father, I'm a nyokubala. Well, he gave us another term. What? Of course now, the people who are around were like, what? Even his son was like, no. I'm like, no, you just go and tell your father. Banange. Now he can retire after he has done the will of the father, the will of God, in Uganda. Now he can go to the Bahamas, retire if he wants, even a cabinet post. Now there are things I'm saying. But everyone around us, was saying, no, you guys, you cannot do that. You can even, the son himself was like, but you, Of course, he's entitled to his opinion. But for me and Sam, in that moment, we were saying, no, there is a will of God. We are going to rally behind this. We are going to maintain. We are going to be one with the rest of the people. We are going to maintain that unity. How it comes over Bakabia Kalulu, me, those things, it's a detail. Me, I know it is the will of the Father. Glory to God. So, in endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, what really Jesus prayed about for his disciples was that we may have one purpose, and even here in LAT, we shall do things differently. We may have different ways of worship, different expressions of worship, but the purpose at the end of the day is to bring glory to the Father. And where there is unity, you people, a lot, God works through the channels of unity. There is no strife. There is no, you know, the differences will be there. Once in a while, there'll be arguments. But let's not argue on the matters that are fundamental. Glory to God. For those who are here and they are not yet married, or people who are just married, you'll even see this in your marriages or in your relationships. It is so important. Or let's just say, in a home, it is so important for the home okusechimu. That is the best way I can put it in Uganda. To stand up for one thing. You are different members. Everyone does things differently, but you all are united in that purpose. Now, LAT, where we are going as a church, we must be united beyond just our DNA. Okay? We must all believe and keep reminding ourselves of why we are here, what God has called us to do. Believe it. You know, when I was in, when I was in the bank in Standard Chartered, after I'd gotten the job, they took us for a training. It's, we would call it the Changkwanzi training of Standard Chartered, where they would tell us all nice things about this bank. That by the time you'd leave that training, you're literally bleeding the bank. This bank at that time had how many branches? Very few branches. But you know what? They needed us to believe in the brand. They needed us to believe and wherever we're going. So I remember leaving after a month, leaving that academy, the training academy, and you could never convince me that there was any bank that was better than Stanchart. You could never tell me anything. From everywhere, I would even be out there talking. Now, of course, there are other bankers from other places, Stanbic, DFCU, Barclays Bank then. But there is a way in which for us, after that training, and by the way, it was the same ethos around, would carry ourselves like we are the best bank. There is nothing you can tell us. Meanwhile, we are like 9 branches in the whole country. There is Centenary Bank that is everywhere. But for us, we're like Stanchart, Checho. That was the peak. Yeah. So even as we are talking about this unity, it should be that when in LAT, when You believe in your vision. You believe in what God has called you to do. Wherever you are, you speak about LAT. And I'm not saying you do that to get... People have YouTube channels. There are not many. But you do that to get followers. No. On the contrary, if you do that, you may not get any followers. But my point is, have an unpretentious belief. A belief that is not contrived and forced on you in what God has called you to do. And promote that. It is only when we believe what God has called us to do as a church that we can actually promote it. And this is the unity that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, prayed for his disciples. That once they are in that unity, once they are in that, they have that oneness, then they will preach that gospel until they bleed. And let me tell you something. The Lord answered that prayer. Amen? The Lord answered that prayer. Now, of course, after talking, saying these things, we are human beings, we live in the flesh. It is difficult to do. And you could be challenged, or in one area or the other. But I want to remind you that this unity, it is the unity of the Spirit, is the Holy Spirit that gives us, that enables us to do some of the things that are so difficult to do. Amen? So, count on the help of the Holy Spirit to help you walk this life. This sermon is not about righteous living, no, or walking righteously, no. It is just the fruit of the Spirit, really. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to do all these things. Amen? So these things, you cannot do them in your own power. Glory to God. I hope you're blessed. Thank you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.